Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I have emphasized repeatedly in the last several days, the beauty of Holy Week is that we walk through it as a week. Palm Sunday is a Sunday. And the Lord Jesus last Sunday entered the city of Jerusalem to hosannas, to loud praises, to some opposition too. And for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he taught. Many people followed. The leaders were very upset. But those are real days, right? You were here Sunday, and then there was Monday, and then Tuesday, and Wednesday, and it's Thursday. And in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, it says this: on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came. This is the question that just caught my ear this year. I preach on Monday, Thursday, every single year. This just caught my ear this time. Where do you want us to make preparations for you to what? Eat the Passover. Eat the Passover. So very many times I've preached on Monday, Thursday about our doctrine of the sacrament. There's nothing wrong with that. Differentiating Lutheran and Baptist views of the sacrament, okay. But I want us to notice something that Jesus and his disciples were doing, a very specific thing. They were celebrating the Passover meal, which Israel has been celebrating since 1400 BC. Sometime in the 1440s, Moses led Israel out of Egypt. And the angel of death had destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt, but had passed over the people of Israel if they had placed the blood of the covenant on the doors of their houses. And every year from that year on, in the spring, they celebrated, remember what God did for us. Now, it's fun to think of this. There was a time when Jesus was a little boy. And when Jesus was a little boy, who presided over his Passover meal? His father, Joseph. Right? Can you imagine that? Presiding over a Passover meal in your own home, and the divine second person of the Trinity is sitting at your table? Jesus has been to the Passover meal 35 years in a row. But tonight it changes. Many of you, I hope, have seen those Christ and the Passover things. We're not doing that whole presentation. It's very long. If you do the whole Jewish Seder meal, that's 2 to 3 hours long. We're not doing that. But I do want to talk about four cups. You guys have seen there's that plate with all those special things in it, the bitter herbs, the matzahs, all the things that remind them of the Exodus. The prayers, the scripture readings, the singing that happens at the Seder, and there's four cups. There is no wine in these cups, so I don't drink four cups of wine right in front of you. Before we get to the cups, I want to notice a couple things else from the text. The disciples said, where do you want us to prepare the Passover? We're doing a Passover. It's a Jewish Passover meal. That's what they're doing. And Jesus says, I want you to go and see this particular man. He'll have a place. Go prepare there. But I love these words. In verse 18, he says, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I want us to catch that phrasing, because there's been other times in the Gospels where people picked up rocks to stone Jesus. And every time it says, but it wasn't his time, right? Did you ever catch that? Now it is. It's Holy Week. They've tried to kill him several times, and it was always, his time had not yet come. And I hope they heard that. Tell the man that my time has come. And so they go and prepare. Now, the first cup, they have names. The cup of sanctification. I want to say something about it, of course. There's an opening blessing. Usually you're reading one of the Psalms, and then you pick up the cup. Everybody has four cups in front of them. and you all drink at the same time from the cup. And what does drinking from the cup mean? It means participation. It means unity. We're united in this cup. Those presiding over the supper would read the blessing, take the cup of sanctification. We drink from the cup. We're the people of God now. I want to say something about the word sanctification, just real quick. As Lutherans, we are really great at academic theology, and we often talk about justification and sanctification. That theology is correct. I just want to let you know, when we use the word sanctification here, we don't mean that sanctification. When we say justification, sanctification, we're talking about salvation and living it. That's not what this means. The word sanctification here means to be made a holy people. And especially it means to be called out by God. You hear that? To be called out. Now, with the cups, you can look this up later, but all the cups, before you drink, phrases are read from Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. So I want to read that. We take the cup of sanctification, and the section that they read is, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. You hear that? You are a people called out from the world. Imagine this. Israel are a bunch of slaves, and Egypt is the mightiest nation on earth. What chance do they have? None but God, right? So God says, I have called you out. We're slaves. We're slaves to sin. I'm not saying Egypt is a metaphor. It's a real place. This was his history. But it was to depict something. We're slaves to sin. And how will we ever save ourselves? We won't. We won't. Apart from the work of God. The cup of sanctification. The second cup is called the cup of deliverance. God is going to set them free from slaves, but deliverance means to not be just set free from slaves, but actually to leave the country. And so Exodus 6, they would take this cup and they would read out, I will free you from being slaves to them. And right before they drank this cup, they would read all of Exodus chapter 12. That's the accounting of the Passover. The blood of the lamb, what you do with it, how your children will be saved. To be freed from slavery. I said we're slaves to sin and God wants to free us from it. But I want us to notice something. Sometimes we have to leave stuff behind. There might be a change. Not just stuff, maybe people are going to be left behind. When God calls us, the cup of deliverance. Everyone takes the cup. You read Exodus 6, you read Exodus 12. You drink of the cup. And you set that cup aside. The next cup is called the cup of blessing. This cup is drunk much later than the other cups. Because after those initial cups, we have dinner. We have dinner. It's a meal. We eat. We fellowship. But there is a cup of blessing. Here's the Exodus text that gets read. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I want us to hear the words. An outstretched arm. Old Testament Israel assumed that outstretched arm meant God and his power. God putting his fist in the face of the nations. I am God and your gods are not. That's partly right. But God redeemed you with the outstretched arms that were nailed to a cross, right? Now, in addition to saying it was the cup of blessing about God providing, the other thing, the Jews would often call this two different things. They would call it the cup of blessing, and the other thing they would call it is the cup of redemption. And the cup of redemption reminded that the lambs were slaughtered. The blood of the lamb was killed, and its blood was put on the door. Imagine that. almost 1,500 years before this evening, Moses and the people of Israel had slaughtered lambs, put their blood on the door, and they were saved. And Jesus picked up, this is the cup. This is the one. He picked up this cup. And he says, this cup is my blood of the new covenant. This is the one. Can you imagine? The cup of redemption, and they're thinking of the blood of the Lamb that saved, and he says, this is my blood. He's talking about tomorrow, right? This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That was new and different for them. They'd done the Passover every year of their life. And now they got that Jesus really was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. There's a fourth cup. I don't believe that Jesus had the fourth cup with his disciples. You would have every other night, but not tonight. The last one is called the cup of praise. There are specific psalms called the Hallel Psalms. They're Psalms 115 to Psalm 118. They would sing them, not read them, as we often do. What you would normally do is have those three cups, sing a couple of the Hallel Psalms, have the fourth cup, and then the Seder was over. Now, I want us to catch something in the text. It says this. He took the third cup, and he says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Next verse, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Have you ever noticed that? He took the third cup and said, this is my blood, and they're looking at it. What about the other cup? And he says, I'm not drinking of the fruit of the vine ever again until when? Until I'm with you in heaven. That's actually a promise. But I want us to notice this. Verse 30 says, and when they had sung a hymn, that's what you would do. Third cup, sing the hymn. Fourth cup. That's not what the text says. Verse 30 says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You ever notice that before? I never noticed that. It's just interesting to watch. Jesus was saying, this is my blood of the covenant. Tomorrow I go to the cross, and after that I give you the sacrament of the altar. And I want you to do this from now until I come back. But when he comes back, what will we do? We'll take the fourth cup. This cup is for heaven. I want you to know that. This cup is for heaven, and this cup is called the cup of praise. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The cup of praise, because you sing the Hallel Psalms, guess what the Hallel Psalms say? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They went from the third cup to the Mount of Olives, to the prayer, to the arrest. And never took this cup. This cup is coming. This is the cup that we will have in heaven when we will praise our God forever. I want you to hear the passage from Exodus. Remember I said they're all from Exodus? The cup of praise, the text is, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. That's heaven when you're with the Lord forever. Couple passages I want to mention as I think about this last cup. Isaiah 25, 6 to 9. Well, 6 and 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will prepare a feast of rich foods for all people. He's talking about Mount Zion, where he'll die. A feast of rich foods, it goes on, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. talking about Jerusalem, but it's also talking about heaven. Verse 9 of Isaiah 25, in that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. You hear it? The third cup becomes this sacrament. The fourth cup, when you have that one, you will see God and praise the one who has saved you. And so Jesus said, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. The church has been doing it ever since. Israel had the Passover once a year. We have it once a week. Every week, we have it. I noticed these words, this just popped into my head literally hours ago. This is funny to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, St. Paul talks about what is communion. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Did you hear what he said? The cup of what? The cup of blessing? What is that? That's the third cup. Did you ever notice that before? In 1 Corinthians 10, St. Paul says, we take the third cup. It is a participation. There's that word again. In the blood of Christ the Lord. Amen.